Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
We have police. We've learned from Philadelphia police that they were out in force last night to make sure Philadelphia remains safe after some social media postings had emerged regarding looting and some protests as a result of Election Day. So authorities saying that they're always prepared for that, for possible disruptions or looting or anything of that nature as Election Day now has passed. But on Market Street, officers did disperse a crowd of youths, young people, underage juveniles. They were dressed in all black. I don't know if they had some face masks on. I had heard a report about that, but they were, for a very warm summer night, I think they were dressed, you know, head to toe with these masks and dark clothing and suspicious activity. Two people taken into custody during that incident. So they were asking that parents to talk to their children, because if anybody engages in what they call negative activity, aggressive activity, criminal activity, then police have to take that appropriate action.
Yeah.
So that warning from officers.
A bunch of individuals that can't vote, not eligible to vote, too young, trying to cause a ruckus after Kamala Harris got blown out, smoked, right? Yeah. What did Tony say yesterday? Biblical beatdown, a boat racing. There's nothing to protest. You got routed. Go home.
I didn't even realize this on election night, but just going through, it looked like in Center City, you know, along the Walnut Street shops, and I had driven by there and realized they had boarded up some areas on Chestnut Street, Walnut Street.
Did they really?
They did, just as a precaution.
Oh.
They had guards, extra guards, that they hired private security outside some of those stores, you know, high-end stores along Chestnut, Walnut, beautiful shops.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that some had even closed early in the Northeast in Port Richmond.
Yeah. By the way, I'm tracking the popular vote still because Nevada and Arizona have not officially been decided. Trump still has a 4.7 million vote lead in the popular vote.
Yeah. And isn't it funny how look at other states where it looks where as far as Senate and House races look pretty close, but mm-hmm. They'll call them.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
I did. Very
and
interesting.
And then, so, I don't know, we'll have to go through that and look at those. You guys are the numbers and stats guys.
I'm such a dork.
That's a good thing. But we also had law enforcement surrounding City Hall. There was a group with the Socialist Alternative and Revolutionary Communists of America.
Oh, no.
They were protesting.
Yeah. Wow. They once recruited me back in the day. I rejected the offer, though.
I'm part of that group.
but they were mostly peaceful protests.
Mostly peaceful, right.
I believe we had about a dozen of young people in the Hunting Park section of Philadelphia. They were, according to authorities, they were trying to break into some shops on Germantown Ave. They were unsuccessful. So there were some arrests that went on, but all in all, I think the police had a game plan and they made sure that they were ahead of everything. So it looks like they did a good job with that.
Okay.
We didn't have any major, you know, problems.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story that a Philadelphia resident is being called a Good Samaritan this morning. And that was after what happened last night. A police officer was struck by a speeding dirt bike rider. And so this happened last night, about 9:30-ish in the evening, Stanwood and Leon Streets in the city's Holmesburg neighborhood. Investigators say this was a police sergeant who was working highway patrol in the highway patrol unit on his motorcycle when he was struck by one of these people on an illegal dirt bike who ran a stop sign and crashed with the officer. So the Good Samaritan is identified as Anthony Wade. Lives in that area as a neighbor in the area, immediately intervened, helping to subdue that suspect who was trying to escape the scene, had injured this sergeant. And so they're thanking this gentleman, Anthony Wade, for intervening, for helping out. And the sergeant pulled out his firearm at one point, held the suspect until this was a situation that could have turned very badly, but this suspect, they're saying, was trying to escape and was not cooperating, let's say.
Yeah, another one of these crotch rocket Charlies out there that want to do things illegally. I mean, I have no problem if you have a dirt bike. I mean, just keep it where you need to keep it. If it's illegal in certain municipalities or cities on the streets, then, you know, especially when you're endangering the life of a police officer, I'd love to see the police or the city confiscate that vehicle and never give it back.
Well, and so now, to your point, they do have laws where they are able to confiscate
Good.
It and actually resell them, or I guess sell the parts or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and the city gets all of that.
Yep.
So I'll just point out to you, U.S. stock market and Bitcoin all storming higher yesterday as investors bet on what Donald Trump's return to the White House would mean for the economy and for the world. So S&P 500 was jumping by about 2.1% in early trading. Remember, yesterday morning we talked about futures, but you look at how the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up. At one point, it was up nearly 1,300 points, so 3.1% yesterday morning. So that was a surge. The U.S. stock market historically tends to rise regardless of which party wins the White House. Maybe they're just relieved it's over. I don't know. But this one was... particularly, everybody was watching that, saying this was a particularly big surge that we saw yesterday.
Yeah, everybody has high hopes. It's just like on New Year's Day, right? I'm going to start that diet, and I'm going to lose all those pounds.
Join that gym.
And then reality sets back in.
So I know we're getting ready for the big take, Harris conceding. I will say that President Joe Biden is expected to hold a news conference this morning after calling Trump to congratulate him yesterday, inviting him to the White House. We have a lot of that. And yes, still counting as far as 98% of the vote in here in Pennsylvania, but local races mostly called. But as far as Dave McCormick v. the incumbent Democrat, Democrat incumbent Casey, that race, the counting continues. So
yes.
We don't have the official confirmation, I guess.
Uh-huh. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, McCormick is tens of thousands of votes ahead. I believe it was 31,000+.
Yeah,
that he was ahead. So
I just saw Ryan. Speaking of the local races, I just saw Ryan McKenzie.
Yeah,
he was just on the television. So. He's getting his 15 minutes of fame as well, which rightfully he deserves.
Yeah, absolutely. Taking that House seat. And,
yep.
You know, and we look at the balance in our own Pennsylvania legislature. I'll know we'll talk about all of that. But a lot of excitement for the Republican Party, for former Congressman Bob Brady, by the way,
mm-hmm.
speaking out. And he has been captured in the national headlines, I might add, as far as ripping into the Harris campaign and the lack of the Harris campaign tapping into the ground game that we have here in Philadelphia.
I had a lot of friends yesterday that were texting me saying that they were just speaking with people they work with and in their circles, even the moderates up in the Lehigh Valley, which there's a lot of moderates up there,
sure.
just rejoicing over the fact that Susan Wilde was defeated. She's just a very, very unlikable person by many. Surprised she's had the success she has, but.
Yeah, Ryan, Ryan McKenzie, I believe I was supposed to have him yesterday, I think, and now you know, we had him here locally. Now he's, you know, like you're saying, on the national news. Mm-hmm. But I think he's going to call into my show mid-morning today.
Cool.
But, you know, he's somebody, Nick, that he ran such a quiet, classy campaign.
Yep.
And just stuck to the facts.
Yep. It was just meat and potatoes.
Yes.
Nothing fancy about it.
So it's impressive.
Yep.
You know what's else impressive? Our friends at Piazza Auto Group, who are sponsoring us here on Kale & Company News Live. The season of performance event has arrived at Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester. Get incredible lease and purchase offers on a new Acura RDX, MDX, Integra, or the all-electric ZDX. Shop online today, PiazzaAcura.com. On this beautiful day, mid-70s, more sunshine, unseasonably warm weather. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:13, Thursday morning, time for another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it's brought to you by Budget Blinds Media, Meltdown, and Kamala's Concession. Reality has set in for all of those who oppose Donald Trump in a second term as president of the United States. The usual suspects playing the same tired and dated playbook in defeat, from the talking heads on TV to the unhinged on social media to those in politics who had to take the L on Tuesday night and early Wednesday morning. Wednesday, November 6th. What a beautiful day it was to consume the dying, less influential legacy media, as the once gatekeepers of truth and information, they continue to lose their grip on American society. Let's start with perhaps the biggest violators of journalistic integrity and the biggest lapdogs for the left, that being Morning Joe of MSNBC. Here's our gal Mika highlighting what cost the Democrats and Kamala Harris, courtesy of The Washington Post. Listen and watch.
The Washington Post, Matt Bai, writes in part, "I do think the prosecutions fed a narrative of Trump as a victim. I also think Democrats dug themselves into a hole on cultural issues and identity politics. Trump's vicious transgender ad in the closing weeks, 'She's for they, them, he's for you,' was probably the most effective of the cycle."
The short-lived experiment of things like identity politics and diversity, equity, and inclusion are over. Kamala Harris never really made it about her. She didn't tell America who she was, or perhaps she did, and we didn't like it. The United States of America emphatically rejected her, and she was always attached at the hip to Joe Biden. Politico with the headline saying, quote, "Kamala Harris's campaign was never able to sufficiently bury Joe Biden's ghost. It cost her the election." They go on to write, "She refused to make a clean break from the last 4 years," end quote. The reality is this. She didn't have what it takes to be a good vice president, and she damn sure didn't have the chops and pedigree to be the next president. It's about merit. But as always, it's not about America. It's not about merit. It's not about what you deserve. You're denied because of who you are. And it's because, well, America is a racist country. So says Sonny Hostin of The View. Listen and watch this.
I'm surprised at the result, but I'm not surprised. As a woman of color, I was so hopeful that a mixed race woman married to a Jewish guy could be elected president of this country. And I think that it had nothing to do with policy. I think this was a referendum of cultural resentment in this country.
Well, I think it...
Keep playing the losing race card and keep losing elections, Democrats. As Stephen A. Smith said, it's not about misogyny. It's about policy. But it's always easier to blame somebody else than to look in the mirror and admit defeat. The next scapegoat is apparently Elon Musk and social media. Here's the unbearable bunch from The View. Listen and watch.
Well, it would help if we could regulate social media, because one of the biggest offenders is DC and Congress have not been able to do one thing in regard to the rogue corporations of social media.
It's not
going to
get any better with Elon Musk now in the administration.
Oh, it's okay, though, when Facebook influences the 2020 election over the Hunter Biden laptop story, right? But now, all of a sudden, a billionaire buys Twitter, joins the Trump campaign, reinstates free speech, and levels the playing field. But now social media is the problem? Cry me a river. So we've created a list so far, right, of who to blame. It's the racist people. It's the sexist people. It's social media's fault. Next up, Russia. Of course, It's always the Russians when Trump has success. Here's Keith Olbermann continuing his mental health decline from a high rise in Midtown Manhattan, blaming the Russians. Listen and watch.
On the Wednesday Countdown podcast, Russia has committed an act of war against this nation. We were attacked last night. Regardless of the outcome of the presidential election, as certainly as if Russia had bombed and not merely threatened with a terrorist attack, 32 polling stations in one Georgia county, many in another Georgia county, between them the home of one quarter of the entire black population of the state of Georgia, and also in the states of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Arizona. Russian interference in this country's elections dates back to at least 2016. It has been proven time and time again, and at times the government of this country has buried the information even though it was available in plain sight.
Keith is probably listening to Bon Jovi right about now as he attempts to fill up the hours of his Thursday. And what about the lawfare, right? What about the weaponized government and the cases against Donald Trump, Jack Smith, and Merrick Garland? Legal cases. Bye-bye. Listen and watch this.
Yeah, Chris, it's not a surprise that these cases can't go forward when Donald Trump takes office. What's interesting here is that the DOJ is moving to end them even before he takes office, citing the long-standing DOJ policy that sitting presidents can't be prosecuted. And there was some thought that maybe Special Counsel Jack Smith was going to sprint through the finish line, was going to work up until the last day, force Trump to fire him, wait till a new attorney general was appointed. But that does not appear to be the thinking inside the department. The thinking is that these cases can't go forward. There's no reasonable prospect of getting to trial within the 3 months before Donald Trump takes office. These cases are mired in legal issues that would be appealed all the way to the Supreme Court had Donald Trump lost the election. So now that he's won the election, DOJ officials are thinking that, look, there's just no room to move in these cases. And so the sensible thing to do is to figure out a way to wind them down. And
now that Trump can put these absurd cases against him in the rearview mirror, he can get back to doing what he did best from 2017 through 2019, deliver results on the key issues that Americans want fixed, the economy and the border. Axios with the headline, quote, Trump will begin operations to deport millions of undocumented immigrants when he starts his term. That according to campaign press secretary Caroline Leavitt, who said on Wednesday morning he will launch the largest mass deportation operation of undocumented immigrants on day one. Politico with the headline, Trump's first order of business, reinstate border policies and get back to drilling, aide says. And for the last 3 months, it's been about three words, fight, fight, fight. But soon it'll be about three different words, drill, baby, drill. Unleash that American energy and make the cost of living in this country affordable again. And sometimes in life, your biggest weakness can become your biggest strength, or at a bare minimum, it no longer is your vulnerability and liability. And that rings true today with Donald Trump, as Axios writes the following. Trump is returning to the White House with help from groups that soundly rejected him when he was president, that being suburban women, independents, and young voters. Those are three groups that Kamala Harris was hoping would carry her to victory, especially suburban women. Here was Kamala and her concession around dinner time last night. Listen and watch.
The light of America's promise will always burn bright. As long as we never give up and as long as we keep fighting. To my beloved Doug and our family, I love you so very much. To President Biden and Dr. Biden, thank you for your faith and support. To Governor Walz and the Walz family, I know your service to our nation will continue. And to my extraordinary team, to the volunteers who gave so much of themselves,
Harris choking up earlier in the speech. Tim Walz and Dougie getting emotional. Liberal women crying in attendance as common sense Donald Trump and America denies their radical vision for the future. Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon and the Washington Post, tweeting the following. Big congratulations to our 45th and now 47th president on an extraordinary political comeback and decisive victory. No nation has bigger opportunities. Wishing at real Donald Trump all success in leading and uniting the America we all love. Even George W. Bush releasing a statement saying, I congratulate President Trump on his election as 47th president of the United States of America, as well as Vice President-elect J.D. Vance. And then even Liz Cheney acknowledging and accepting the inevitable. But the truth is, there's never been a deck stacked against someone more in political history than everything that was working in coordination against Donald Trump. They threw everything at this guy, and they still lost, and he won. Monday, January 20th, 2025, it'll be here before you know it. 74 days to be exact, and that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it's brought to you by Budget Blinds. The holidays are coming. Budget Blinds, your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business. Schedule your holiday consultation today and ask about their special radio offer. If you want to jump in, you can certainly do so. Did you enjoy all of the mainstream media festivities yesterday? 855-839-1210. We'll take your thoughts also on social media at 1210 WPHT. And, of course, your comments in the YouTube chat. And also, up next, suburban women, young voters, and independents. How bad was Kamala Harris in those three categories that cost Donald Trump 4 years ago? The details on the other side. It's Kale and Company, and we're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Three NBA games tonight. Utah at Milwaukee. Utah plus +9. Portland at San Antonio. San Antonio minus -4.5. And the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Chicago Bulls. Chicago plus +8. The NBA is back, and FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casinos, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do is catch every tip-off and buzzer beater and place a $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass. Courtesy of FanDuel. Just go to FanDuel.com/Greg to make every moment more this season. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA and 1210 WPHD, 21 and over, president of PA. After a three-month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Finishing with 312 in the Electoral College. That is the most for a Republican since 1988. I would have been 4 years old at the time.
By the way, I think it was, it may have been Road Warrior on the YouTube chat that I think he nailed that to the exact.
Did he really?
3 days ago. Yeah.
312.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wish it were different because my husband had written a number down like a week ago.
Okay.
And it had to be 312.
No.
So I'm just hoping.
So he's going to be celebrating, pumping his fist. Yeah. Saying he nailed it, taking a victory lap. Right. Good for him.
No,
it was good for him. I did not anticipate 300 plus. I think Opelka said on our election night coverage on Tuesday night that he had 325 being the number. So he came close. But if you had 312, you nailed it on the head. All right. So I know, Dawn, you were doing your show yesterday and you were sleep deprived like many of us were. But were you able to consume any of the mainstream media? Any takeaways from the way they are reacting to defeat, or any thoughts on Kamala's concession speech, which was happening, I think, right around the midway point of the Zioli show yesterday?
Yeah, I think that was that the one she was that the one she was talking about the stars in the sky.
Oh, I have no idea. I did not. I saw all of maybe 8 minutes.
Yeah,
of it.
I saw a little bit of it, but you know, I think here's the thing I would say about her. It's not just about her. I don't think it's just about one candidate in particular. And that's my biggest takeaway. And this was a situation where somebody who's a vice president, who for whatever reason was not a very well-known vice president in the sense of building her brand over a nearly four-year period. And that's what strikes me about it. If they had done a better job in this administration of building her brand, I don't know, maybe they needed like Greg Stocker as a brand manager.
Well, you
maybe
have
vice
to.
Presidents should have that.
Your
I don't know.
Personality matters. You can't just be a robot, right? Like, I've tried telling people that every time I get asked to do anything, like, in the media industry. Like, hey, do you have 5 minutes to talk about the state of race? And I'm like, and they ask me certain questions, and I say, talking about the subject matter at hand is not enough, right? Like, if you're a host, if you're a vice president, you need to be a brand. You need to be a personality. You just don't have to sit there, whether you're in, like, and I always look at it from the media standpoint because that's what I can relate to. Like, it didn't matter if I was in sports or politics. I could sit here and give you exit poll numbers, or I could tell you about how good Jalen Hurts' turnover to interception completion percentage ratios are. If you're not a likable individual, if you don't connect with the audience, it doesn't matter what you regurgitate. It's not about being the smartest guy in the room or knowing more than the next guy. You have to connect. And Dawn, she never connected. And you can't connect if you hide, right? Like, she just was always on the back burner. You know, she never went to the southern border. She did limited interviews in insulated settings, and it backfired on her. They tried to hide her. They did the same thing with Joe. At least with Joe, they had an excuse. There was a pandemic, right? Like, you could at least try to say, well, you know, it's a safety issue. He's 77 years old. What was the excuse for Kamala Harris? There was none, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking back. I mean, in way back, I was looking at vice presidents because we always say the vice president doesn't matter. And so if you think of the first president, George Washington, I was looking at, like, who was his vice president? John Adams. So back in the day, if you look at in the beginning of the country, usually the president and then you had a vice president, that vice president went on, they passed the baton, and those vice presidents were famous. Mm-hmm. But then in modern times, when you really look at it, it's not necessarily the same. And so that's just it, that in political parties, but especially with Joe Biden's administration, it's this, you know, you're in a tough spot as a VP because the man at the top of the ticket, or we've never had a woman at the top of the ticket, but the guy at the top of the ticket, you have to basically, you're in the shadow of that person.
Mm-hmm.
So if they had, and this is a lesson, I think, to Republicans, if you have a president who right now we have Trump coming in, I think for his vice president and his Avenger team, all those individuals, promote them, you know, because you are then passing the baton to the future.
You mean like trot J.D. Vance out for 63 mainstream media interviews in 75 days?
Well, what I mean is put him in charge so that of something like, let's say, the border. Put him in charge of something that you know he'll be effective at. Give him all the tools he needs, mm-hmm. so that he can show that he has executive experience.
Yep.
Right? Leadership experience.
Mm-hmm.
So she was called the border czar. I don't know if it was her lacking or the administration. You know, I'm not really sure what happened there. But whatever it was, to give her, 107 days, whatever that was, 106 days, to launch a presidential campaign and to grow her brand in that amount of time tells you that this was a failure of the Democrat Party.
You're right. And our buddy Will Kane from Fox and Friends Weekend put out this tweet, and this really goes to show you what Trump was able to overcome and also just how much she didn't resonate. And Will Kane said, imagine having the Avengers, Batman, Wonder Woman, Luke Skywalker, the Terminator, Jason Bourne, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, J-Lo, Madonna, Cher, Cardi B, Eminem, John Legend, Usher, Bruce Springsteen, Lady Gaga, Bad Bunny, Rihanna, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Emmett Smith, Magic Johnson, Steve Kerr, Oprah, Mark Cuban, Bill Gates, and Obama on your team, and you still lose. It's unbelievable.
I mean, you could make the argument that obviously, this is a simplistic view, but she lost because of that.
Yeah, that
she
too.
She had all those people on her team.
That too.
Yeah, and this was definitely a rebellion.
It was.
A rebellion vote. But also, it's about the working person. And that's just it. I think if you look at the so-called demographic, in truth, It's that Trump was able to capture, and that was the whole garbage sanitation worker driving the truck, McDonald's, showing those people in those jobs some respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Democrats did not recognize that Trump was the one who was able to capture and resonate, capture the hearts of those individuals, the trust of those individuals, and resonate with working people.
Yep. I mentioned in the Big Take Axios with a story called Trump's Recipe: Limit His Losses Amongst Key Groups. The groups that rejected him 4 years ago. And I want to give you some of these numbers with suburban women, women in general, and independents, as well as young voters. And this will just show you how unlikable she was and how Trump was able to mitigate damage and, you know, not basically drown in certain categories. So Axios breaks it down. We'll start with women. Women voters still largely preferred Harris over Trump, but not with the margins or the level of her turnout that the campaign needed to win. Harris won roughly 54% of women. That is according to NBC and CNN exit polls. Biden, 4 years ago, had 57% of women. So that is a -3 for Kamala Harris in her own gender. That's staggering to me. Harris even underperformed Biden amongst suburban women by 2 points, with 57%, according to the Associated Press. For a party that exceeded expectations amongst women voters since the Supreme Court struck down abortion rights under Roe v. Wade in 2022, 2 years later, this is a bitter blow. Amongst young voters, Harris won 52% of the 18 to 29-year-old demo, but that was down from 61%, which Joe Biden secured in 2020. Think about that. Kamala's 21 years younger than Joe Biden, and she performed 9 points below Joe. So she was supposed to be the younger female, and her numbers were worse than Pudding Brain. Yeah, that if that doesn't show you how awful of a candidate she was, I don't know what will. Then you go to the suburbs, and we're going to go right to Montgomery County here.
Please.
Axios says, in the all-important Pennsylvania, Harris needed to run up the score in suburbs like Montgomery County, outside of Philadelphia. She led by 22 points, with 92% of precincts reporting. But that is off of the 26-point margin that Joe Biden had 4 years ago. So that is a -4. Then you go down to independents. She won 50% of independents. Joe was at 54% 4 years ago. So she fell off 4 points there. So you look at it, the Utes, the independents, the women, and the women in the suburbs. She was a drain, and remember, she was a drain on the ticket.
She was halfway through.
They wanted to replace her.
Yep.
And Joe did better 4 years ago. And I guess the question is, hindsight being 2020, it's always easy to Monday morning quarterback this. Does if Joe stays in and doesn't tap out, or if Joe doesn't have that June 27th brain collapse, is he president today?
I could make the argument, no, but I could make the argument that he would, even after that debate performance, even after all of that, I think that he would have performed better than she would. I don't think he would have won, because I just think the headwinds were way too strong.
Yeah.
But I think that he definitely would have performed better than she did.
There's
no question in my mind. I mean, literally, people, we reported this yesterday. Like, the senators, the Democratic senators on the ticket performed sometimes 18 points better than she did. Like, that means that people physically went in there and voted for a Democratic senator and either didn't vote for her or voted for Trump.
Yeah. That is staggering. And when you think about where they are with women and where they are with suburban women, and we talked about the implications of Roe v. Wade, I mean, I'll ask you, Dawn, because you talk about it and it's a state's issue. Is this an outlier, or is abortion no longer a major, major voting issue now that it is basically a state by state issue, so to speak? And I ask because, remember, it was Trump that was labeled the villain for, you know, championing the fact that he got Roe v. Wade overturned, packed the Supreme Court, conservative justices that are pro-life, and Kamala and the Democrats, they dug in on that. Or is this one of those things where Trump's just above it, but the people at the grassroots level running for office will still be impacted by this? How do you see that?
I think that abortion is still going to be an issue moving forward until this country, you know, all the states, everybody figures it out at the state level. But I simply think that you have massive numbers in a general election. But when we go back to the municipal elections or the midterm elections, that sort of thing, we're going to see it popping up again. So it's not done with. And I think the great Linda Kearns, our election integrity RNC attorney, she had a great point yesterday when she was speaking, and she said, you know, people have to understand that the municipal elections, they begin within a year and they matter. And everybody needs to focus on those and not just come out to vote during a general election. Pay attention, because, you know, we talk about District Attorney Larry Krasner or, you know, these other municipal elections around our country actually affect our day-to-day lives in greater, you know, more personal ways. Mm-hmm. And yet look at the voter turnout during the midterms, for example.
Yeah. Also, everywhere abortion was on the ballot, except for Florida, which actually got 57% of the vote, but they have some weird rule where you have to get 60%. The abortion stuff passed.
Okay.
So people went there, voted for this, and voted against her.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that...
Think about that. You vote for her message, but yes, you don't vote for the person.
100%. 100%. Which means that, you know, Dawn, kudos to you. You were 100% correct. And I, you know, hat tip to you. Like, they did not tie him with that.
Yeah.
Which I thought they were going to. So they, wherever it was on the ballot, except for Florida, it was struck down.
Yeah.
But she still didn't get the headwind from it. It's unbelievable.
But I think, you know, Bob Brady, the Philadelphia Democrats chair, longtime congressman, you know, he slammed the Harris campaign.
Yeah, it's in the Inquirer today.
Right?
We have that. Phil, can you grab Cut 13? Do you have Cut 13 up there? Yes.
Who was it? NBC 10? I want to give credit.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm going to play.
Okay.
I sent it to you.
I would have liked to have seen the Harris campaign, especially the national campaign, coordinate with us a little bit, talk to us a little bit, give us a little bit more resources, you know, show us some respect. Didn't happen. They were just elitist and went out there, did their own thing, and didn't include Democratic City Committee, our wardens, or our committee people. They just didn't do it.
Turnout in the Democrat-rich city can help Democrats win statewide. But this year, numbers as of mid-afternoon showed Philadelphia has not turned out as many votes for Kamala Harris as it did Joe Biden 4 years ago, while Donald Trump boosted his votes.
So you know Philadelphia, and you know what needs to be done here. If you're not getting what you think you need from them, why not just do it on your own? It's your city.
We did it on our own. That's why we got the numbers we got, regardless of what they did.
But it didn't work.
Well, it worked in the city of Philadelphia. We pulled out the margins. We did as much as we can.
Wow. Turnout, according to the latest tally, sits around 63%.
They're all in CYA mode.
Threshold.
Some people in Philadelphia, some voters, just decided they weren't going to vote, weren't going to participate. How do you explain that?
Talk to her about that.
Oh!
You don't feel like Democrats in the city who live here take any responsibility for that?
I don't think that the Democrats that live in the city related to her, and I don't know why. I don't know whether there was an elitist factor out there. I don't know why she didn't talk to them. I don't know.
Brady, a longtime friend of President Joe Biden, is also still unhappy with how the switch from Biden to Harris on the top of the ticket happened.
I'm really not that happy the way they took him off.
Biden announced his decision to leave the race this summer after a roundly criticized debate performance.
For one bad debate? Hey, Obama had a bad debate. Fetterman had a horrible debate. And he did public appearances after that, and he was fine.
Yikes. Wow.
This is the, you know, he's like the Obi-Wan Kenobi of running a campaign. He knows, Bob Brady knows how to get her done. For him to say, I think the key point he said was, they didn't show us respect.
Why would you not use a resource locally, especially how many times did we talk about, and Greg made this as a great point. He's like, you know, if you want to win Pennsylvania, you might want to start showing up more. The Harris and Biden campaign were in Pennsylvania for 3.5 years nonstop.
Yep.
They were in Philadelphia, 33 times?
Yeah, you wonder some of those old school Democrats like Bob Brady, and Dawn is correct. Like, he is the quintessential Democrat in this city. Yeah. You have to wonder how many of them were pissed off because of what they did to Joe Biden and just protest voted.
He goes on to say, and the Philadelphia Inquirer has a good story about this. Brady said money was an issue, and he criticized the Harris campaign for paying only about half of the money that the city committee requested for its Get Out the Vote effort. Those funds, otherwise known as street money, are used to pay committee members to get out the vote. Did he mention the word elitist in there? I thought I heard him say elitist. Where
he said elitist.
Yeah.
Two times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a vibe that the Democrats better try to shake or they're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Unless you're in the 1%, because that doesn't resonate with people, right?
Yeah, we heard that through, I mean, I was hearing that even through the mayor's office, that Mayor Sherelle Parker, that her administration felt a bit snubbed, didn't get that so-called respect.
Wow.
If I'm a Democrat, and you look at how Philadelphia delivers, if I'm a Democrat running for anything and I need Philadelphia, I am kissing the ring of Bob Brady and Mayor Parker.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they didn't do that, and then, you know, and then the Harris campaign, what did they do? They put out a photograph taken with Bob Brady and the vice president together, saying, well, they obviously met.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He's talking about the campaign, you know, coming here and basically saying, what do you need?
Right.
And showing you that respect and showing you the money and showing you the respect.
It doesn't jive with a lot of the reporting we saw, because all we heard about was the ground game here.
Mm-hmm.
90,000 volunteers they had.
Yep.
So where was the disconnect between that? Were they in the suburbs? Were they not in Philly? I don't know.
Very interesting. So you take maybe snubbing Bob Brady, you're disrespecting Sherelle Parker, and on top of all of it, you do not tab Josh Shapiro to be your running mate, which brings us to our caller, Bill in Lansdowne, who's got some thoughts. Bill, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Nobody's brought this up at all, right? The mere fact that she snubbed Shapiro. Did anybody bring up the fact that maybe she asked him and he turned her down?
Yes, I brought that up because I said maybe it's possible that he views that to be a losing campaign, mm-hmm. and that will hurt his chances when he has POTUS aspirations, maybe as soon as 2028, especially if she loses, which she did.
Right, he could be starting his campaign in a year from now.
That's correct. You're absolutely right.
But, you know, you're not hearing that nationally. Nothing about Pennsylvania. You know, everything's about she picked Tim Walz over him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she asked him and he said no.
It could be possible. And then he says, "But I'm glad to help out. Use me whenever you need me." He was certainly visible, right? I mean, how many times did we see him over the last 75 days up there doing his best Barack Obama? I mean,
he was
not like he was, you know, hiding.
The night before he was up there doing it.
Correct.
I disagree with that. I don't think that. I do think that if Josh Shapiro was asked, I think he would have accepted.
Probably.
I don't think that he it was some grand scheme, some diabolical scheme that he was like, no, she's going to lose and I'm going to, you know. I do think in my heart, I do believe that the Democrats really believed that she was going to win. I really do think that. So
part of that is arrogance,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's part of what I think Bob Brady would. We can infer.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think you can sit there if you're, you know, of the belief that it's a layup victory, that you're going to beat Trump, that, you know, calling him Hitler, running on abortion, and having select media appearances is enough. That might be enough if Joe Biden was pushed aside because of age and health and the country was in a great spot. But when you poll lower than Joe Biden, who polled lower than any president since Jimmy Carter, you have to do a whole heck of a lot more. And you tried to keep defining Donald Trump.
Yeah.
We know everything we need to know about Trump. We've known him for 9 years. You're the newbie. You need to make it about you, not about your opponent. And she failed to do that. Total miscalculation. And I'm happy about it. 855-839-1210, the phone number. We'll come back. Kickoff hour number two. Dawn's got some news. And then more of the exit polling data, including how one publication says Donald Trump didn't really win Pennsylvania. It was Kamala Harris that lost it. We're going to look at some of these other counties as just to how bad she is compared to Joe Biden of 4 years ago. We're back after this. Hour two next here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I don't know if you've ever done this. Have you ever searched your name and then seen that some of those creepy sites took your name, your information, maybe even your picture, and were using it for the, you know, creepy reasons, selling it, that sort of thing? Do this, search your name and make sure nobody's doing this to you. And the reason I'm bringing this up, it's one of the many reasons that I subscribe to privacy from DuckDuckGo. Okay, so if you want to keep your searches private and out of data profiles, maybe the government, other legal requests, you need to use DuckDuckGo. I have used it for years. You know this. They're a local company. Started out local, and now they're huge. But DuckDuckGo does not track you at all. Every time you search on DuckDuckGo, it's as if you've never been there before. That means a lot to me. And so that's why I started using DuckDuckGo in the first place. But now there's a subscription they offer. It's called Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. This is a 3-in-1 privacy subscription service. Helps protect your personal information from being exploited by those hackers, the scammers, the privacy invasive companies. I talk a lot about them in the news, in fact. And so with Privacy Pro, DuckDuckGo's VPN secures your Wi-Fi connection anytime, anywhere. And they have identity theft restoration as well. So if your identity gets stolen, DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro is going to help you restore it. And also they have number three, and this is what I started with talking about, this personal information removal, which I never knew you could do this, but I love this one. It really blew my mind. If you've searched your name, like I said, online, noticing how many sites are selling information about you, which is just, it freaks me out, Privacy Pro is going to help you remove your personal information from all those creepy sites. You want to do this. So here's the thing. You get all this for $9.99 a month. As my listener, go to DuckDuckGo.com/1210. You get an exclusive 7-day free trial on me. DuckDuckGo.com/1210. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.